Good morning, and a warm welcome to you all. If you're visiting this church for the first time, you're most welcome. The services today are led by our minister, Leslie Charlton. After this service, we will have our bi-monthly church meeting, and at 6:30, there will be a reflective worship service. We have three items for the pastoral news. Jim Burnage, who moved with his wife Wendy to the Isle of Wight a few years ago, has now been moved to a hospice and is coming to the end of his life. Could you remember him in your prayers, please? Georgina and Finlay Forbes' daughter Katie this week had a baby girl, and her name is Alexandra. Are they here? They're not here. And also Elizabeth Cole, her daughter also had a baby girl this week. And this is wonderful news, as her daughter had been told by doctors that she would never be able to conceive. So a lovely special moment. This coming week, although it says there's Messy Church, or it did say there's Messy Church this tomorrow, it will not be tomorrow, but it will happen on the last Monday, March the 31st. Next Sunday we return to the three services, the 10:30 traditional, 10, yes, sorry, my timekeeping's never brilliant, 10 o'clock traditional, 11:30 the interactive, and at 6:30 the reflective service, where there will be communion. And finally, this is your notice again about Kaylee, which is happening on two Saturdays' time. And it's between 7 and 10. And it's traditional Scottish dancing. And tickets are available from many people, including Ray, Barbara Fielding, and Liz Cook.
Response, please, if it is right for you, is we will. Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve only God. So I ask, will you worship the Lord? Will you serve only God? Will you seek to be nourished by God's word? So let us journey together during this Lent in the strength and the love of Christ. We join to sing, This is the Day.
Morning, my name's Sue. I wanted to, Leslie said to come up and have a word this morning because I have some good news and I wanted to share it with everyone because it was 4 weeks ago today. I said to Leslie, Leslie said, how are you? I said, I've decided to resign. I've been doing a very stressful job for a long time now and it was starting to make me ill. So I said to Leslie, I'm going to resign. And we were stood at the door and she said, well, have you thought of becoming a funeral services arranger? And I said, well, I've never heard of such a job. She said, well, they're advertising in the Surrey Comet. So I thought, right. So I shot home, went on the internet, looked in the Surrey Comet, and there was this ad for funeral posts with the funeral industry. And I read about being a funeral services arranger, and I thought, this sounds like me. And I have been hoping and praying for something like this for some time. However, I'd missed the closing date 2 days before. But I thought, no, I really feel in my heart this is something that God could be calling me to. So I applied. I filled in all the paperwork that Sunday afternoon, sent it off. And then I rang on the Monday, I rang them. I rang their headquarters in Northern Ireland somewhere. I said, I'm really, really keen on this job. And I'm sorry I've missed the closing date, but I'd like to apply. Anyway, a few days later, I received an invitation for an interview. And it was at the Hotel Antoinette, a whole day assessment. I had to do a maths test, an English test, an empathy test, had a one-to-one interview. I was asked, you know, what, all sorts of appropriate questions. We had a team building exercise where we had to show how good we were at working in a team. And I'm pleased to say that 2 days later I received a letter of congratulations. We would like you to start as a funeral services arranger. So I just want to encourage you. God hears our prayers. He hears us when we're crying. He hears us when we're happy. He cares about you. He cares about me. And he sees the detail. And although there are many, many, many things that we don't understand and that are really hard, God still cares. And if any of you out there are waiting for an answer to prayer, persevere. Thank you to those people who prayed for me. There's several of you here today who prayed for me. And thanks be to God for hearing your prayers. I'm going to lead us in prayer now, and then we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're a good Father. And that you give good gifts to your children. And thank you for the many good gifts you have given us. Thank you that we are free to worship you here today, that nothing can stop us from coming to this church. And thank you that nothing gets in between your love for us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the good news this morning in the notices. And we ask that you will continue to be with us and guide us in all that we do. And we join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I think another round of applause is right, don't you? And can I just say, when you shake me by the hand, I am not thinking the job for you is a funeral service. Some of you will have heard about the Joel community, and it seems right that we should hear some more information about it. During the 11 o'clock services this year, we're having a slot in our service, which is What Do You Do?, which is information about different groups. So we've heard about the elders, we've heard about the contact centre, and today we're going to hear about the Joel community. So Becca, come and talk to us. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much for asking me. So I'm Becky Mills, and I'm the fundraiser at the Joel Community Trust. And we're based at St. Peter's Church in Norbiton, which I'm sure you all know. It's next to Asda on the way into Kingston. Okay, well, I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, but anyway, around 500 people are threatened with homelessness in our borough every year. And the stark truth is, if you're healthy in mind and body, and you haven't been made homeless by some natural disaster such as a flood or a fire, then the council has no legal obligation to house you. Around 100 people were still rough sleeping or sofa surfing despite the temporary winter night shelter that was operating in between December and February every year, overseen by the Kingston Churches and Kingston Churches Action on Homelessness. These statistics don't reflect the official figures, which say there are only 19 homeless people in Kingston, and we know that that's not true. I work at KCAH as well, and I see all of those people, all of those 500 coming in with problems, threatened with homelessness. In the last 5 years, at least 30 vulnerable people known at St. Peter's who have regular first-hand experience of rough sleeping have died prematurely. And the average life expectancy for someone on the street is 47. People threatened with homelessness have to be already on housing benefit to qualify at established hostels like the YMCA. There's a limit of 3 food vouchers per person as they're waiting for their benefits claim to come through. At the Joel Community Trust, we believe everyone is entitled to food, friendship, shelter, and a means of earning their own livelihood. And we're not talking about people in far-flung places in the developing world. We're talking about people on our doorstep in Kingston. Our exciting news is that since our launch in November 2010, we've raised £263,000 in donations and pledges, mainly from the Kingston churches. We finished refurbishments to the church hall at St. Peter's, and now our night shelter is fully operational. It was fully operational from the 1st of March. And the local authority has awarded us housing benefit for our guests. So that was a minor coup, or even a major one, in fact. We'll be accommodating 130 guests in the night shelter a year who would otherwise be rough sleeping or sofa surfing. We've got 3 dormitories with a total of 10 beds, and also we've got extra space and extra mattresses in case there are extra people who turn up. A kitchen, a utility room, toilet, shower blocks, and a living area. And we'll be offering food, friendship, and shelter all year round to anyone in Kingston in a crisis situation. The shelter will be manned by volunteers from local churches, businesses, and community groups. So now we're hoping to be able to move on to the next phase as soon as the money becomes available. Our vision for the future is to provide purpose-built accommodation for Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness, a phase 2, and a life skills centre, phase 3, all on the site at St. Peter's Church. We hope to give our guests hope and a future by providing training opportunities and creative activities at the Life Skills Centre. Already in partnership with KCAH, we're offering access to healthcare, A job club, fishing, hiking, allotment care, sports, art and drama, IT coaching, and a City and Guilds Level 2 qualification in health and hygiene at the Cook and Eat course. We want to offer much more. Already we open the church doors twice a week to any vulnerable or homeless person and give them spiritual refreshment and a hot meal. But we want to be doing this on a daily basis in the refectory, in our life skills centre that we're planning in a few years' time. We were also planning to have KCAH on site, who will be the referral source to the night shelter, and who will move guests into longer-term accommodation. We really need your help to raise the finance towards the second phase of the project, accommodation for KCAH in the remaining space in the church hall. With KCAH on site, we will have a seamless service from referral to the night shelter to onward placement in the community. So it's crucial that we've got KCAH on site with us. And the rent they will pay to Joel will be fed back into the project rather than going into Marks and Spencer's pocket, which it is at present. So part of our initial fundraising strategy, we called the Gideon Factor. And Gideon's pledge £15 a month over the course of 5 years. And the average contribution is £20, in fact. But we're very grateful for anything, however small, that you feel it's right to pledge towards the project. If 300 people pledge £15 a month over the course of 5 years, then we raise £337,000. You'll be part of a crucial local facility for homeless people, giving them a roof over their heads, hope, and a future, both in God's kingdom and in the local community. Please take away this leaflet that I've left on the seats and prayerfully consider how you might help us. Thanks very much for listening.
And the other bit that's worth saying is this message might not be for you, but it might be for somebody that you know. So have your ears open as well. So thank you. So let us pray. Gracious Lord, we do not believe it is right that people in our country should be sleeping rough. And we give you thanks for the initiatives that happen within the borough of Kingston. We thank you for Kingston Church's action on homelessness. We thank you for the activities that happen in our own building. And we thank you for the Joel Community Trust. We ask that you would give us all the resources that we need to do your work. Bless Becky in her fundraising activities. Lord our God, pour your blessings upon us and give us your wisdom as to how to use them well. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We join to sing, O God, you search me and you know me.
Thank you.
from the start of Lent. It's a time of thinking about Jesus in the desert, wrestling, debating, wondering about the way forward. How to use the talents that God has given to him in the right way. Not to take shortcuts, not to be displaying people and tricking them. We're going to hear the story as it is in Matthew, and Rebecca, and then I thought to myself, actually, what is her surname? It's Staunton, is it? See, well done me, yes. Rebecca Staunton is going to read to us. You're on a list, and I said, who's this? Who's Rebecca Staunton? And David Richards suitably chastised me, so let us listen for the word of God that Rebecca Staunton is going to read to us.
Reading from Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's son, order these stones to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, 'Man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that God speaks.'" Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, and set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down, for the scripture says, 'God will give you orders to his angels about you. They will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones.'" Jesus answered, "But the scripture also says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their greatness. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you kneel down and worship me." Then Jesus answered, "Go away, Satan. The scripture says, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left Jesus, and angels came and helped him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're not idiots. If something is obviously wrong, we know it's obviously wrong. Where temptation is because it might be right. It might be right. Or sometimes it is right. But in this circumstance, it's not. It's not wrong to feed the hungry. Bread, stones from bread. It's not wrong to feed the hungry. What is wrong is to force people, bribe people. That's what's wrong. It's not wrong to tell the story like Sue told us earlier about God's provision. What's wrong is to use it as display so that people are not in the place of making a choice, which is what the temptation is about. It's not wrong to want all the nations to come to follow Jesus Christ. What's wrong is to think there's a shortcut by worshipping the devil to get there. We're not idiots. If it was that it was obvious, then it would not be a temptation. We would know. We would just know. We would know. So this week, for example, they're all getting anxious about sugar. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Getting anxious about sugar. And they are saying, pardon? Yeah, they're moving away from fat onto sugar, getting anxious about sugar. And the message this week was about fruit juices. Just a minute, we all thought to ourselves. It's fruit. How can it possibly be bad? Well, it's not bad. Unless, of course, you drink litres and litres of the stuff. And that's what it's like. It's not that it's bad, it's that to go beyond is temptation, and that is what leads you astray. And the worst one of all, of course, is a thing that calls itself innocent. That is not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, is it? Calls itself innocent. So let me give you a minute to think to yourself of the temptations that are yours at this time. Pray for God's strengthening. Pray for God's strengthening in the facing of your temptations, but also pray for God's strengthening that you can spot them. Let's move in our prayers and pray for others. Let's pray for those who have developed a friendship which is fine, which is good, but which could actually be the start of the end of their marriage. Let's pray for those who are rich, which could be a source of temptation to put money in the place of God. Let us pray for those who are politically powerful, for Barack Obama, for President Putin, for David Cameron, let us pray for peace in Crimea and the Ukraine, relations with Russia. The temptation to think that things can be sorted out with military might. Let's pray for those who are sad on this day. Temptation to believe that God is not interested and that they are alone. Let's pray for those that we know who are tempted today. Lord, hear our prayers, and for those things that you call us to be an answer to other people's prayers, may we be faithful and may we be swift. And we pray in your name. Amen. Join to sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." Kathy. Come. Have a seat first. The call of God on each of us comes in a variety of forms and is celebrated in activities like baptism, Holy Communion. And it is the call of God on the life of each person to do God's work in a whole variety of ways. And for the vast majority of people, it is not done through the institution of the church, but is done in their homes, in their community, in their paid employment. All the stuff that people do as volunteers is God's work, whether that label is worn or not. But some are called to be ministers of word and sacraments. Some are called to be elders. And together, the elders are the leaders of the community, the trustees of the church. So what is this church? Well, let's get to the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church. You're looking at me. Oh, good. Phew. We just had a bit of a moment there. I can make up most things, but the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church is a bridge too far. It's coming. There it is. So would you please respond with the words in the bold type? With the whole Christian Church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The living God, the only God, ever to be praised. The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together. We acknowledge the gift and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace. The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's word in the Bible, alive for God's people today through the help of the Spirit. We respond to this word, whose servants we are, with all God's people through the years. We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness to the Catholic faith in the Apostles' and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own tradition by Congregationalists, Presbyterians and Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear. Faith alive and active, gift of an eternal source, renewed for every generation. We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith in forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed, but we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection. Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the rights of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide where differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace. We commit ourselves to speak the truth in love and grow together in the peace of Christ. We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief. While we ourselves are servants in the world, as citizens of God's eternal kingdom, we affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and praise God more and more forever. Source, guide, and goal of all that is, to God be eternal glory. Amen. Do you accept this statement and confess again your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? In dependence on God's grace, do you reaffirm your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and your promise to follow him and to seek to do and to bear his will all the days of your life? Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments, discerned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is a supreme authority for the faith and conduct of all God's people? Do you recommit yourself to the office of elder of the United Reformed Church in this congregation, and do you promise to perform its duties faithfully? Good. And do you, as members of this local church, accept and receive Kathy Seymour to serve as an elder among you? Will you encourage and support her and recognize her ministry, acknowledging that it comes from God? Yes. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a thing to say, isn't it? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in accordance with the will of this church, I will shake you by the hand and wish you well in this ministry that you're going to conduct among us. And all these good people are going to loudly applaud. And this section over here are going to whoop. Let me hear a whoop. Excellent. Good. They practiced it for hours. And for now, we're going to pray. So let's pray. Eternal God, you call us in a variety of ways and in a variety of places. And with you, life of faith is never dull. We ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on Kathy. We thank you for all that she brings, for her life experiences, for her working life, her home life, her contribution in the community. Protect her, Lord Jesus, and bless her in her leadership of us. May we receive what she brings and be guided by you through her. Empower each of us for your service in whatever form it takes. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wipe the tears, that's good. Yeah. We're going to continue our worship as we make our offering. And while the offering is being taken, the choir will sing to us. Thanks, Tom. Great problem is getting the money off the treasury. Let's join together to pray. Loving God, we know your generosity. Bless this money which we bring, and bless the lives that we offer. May this all be to your praise and glory. Keep us true to that which we believe, that which we know to be eternal, and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, since you're all in the mood for whooping and clapping, Isaac, come here. Come on, Isaac. You knew this was going to happen, didn't you? Now, Isaac, it was 16 on Friday. Take your hat off, Isaac. Come on, let's see it. Whoa, look at that green hair. That's your challenge for next week. Green hair, the whole lot of you. Big claps. Happy birthday to you, 16. Can you remember that? Woo, 16. Let's join to sing our final hymn, O Lord, All the World Belongs to You. This is the wilderness time. Times when the path is obscure and thorns have grown around words of hope. Be the wings of our strength, O God. In the time of wilderness waiting, when we do not know which way to go, be our strength and our direction. Amen.